Say there's only one thing that we could do, that's making our guests comfortable.
That's very
switch,
nice.
Do the other leg, it gets in the way. Yeah, switch. All right, let me focus in.
Oh, it does actually. How do I... Is that good enough?
Yeah. Well, you would know if you had the headphones on. But we have a fun time here. Theme music.
Oh, yeah!
So, some people like to, no obligations. Like...
Lay?
It doesn't have to lay. You could lay. You could be like this. You could be like that.
I'm going to stay like this for now.
Angle's a bit awkward.
Yeah.
But do as you will.
I'm going to stay like this until I feel comfortable enough
to open up.
To physically open up to you.
Understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, but emotionally you're already very vulnerable.
Well, I don't have dignity, so I'll say anything. I don't really care. So that's always been good for podcasting and radio for me, is that I'll... say whatever. I watched the Harlan Williams episode.
Ooh, 2.0 or 1.0?
I don't know. There seemed to be a weird tension between the two of you, and I couldn't tell if it was real or if it was like a bit. Oh.
Yeah. Then it must have been 2.0. We love each other.
Okay, yeah.
Very
I figured
much.
Like there, because you guys are both guys that, there you go. Yeah. You guys, are we taping, by the way? Yeah, you guys are both guys that do, like, it's hard to tell when you're in or out of the bit.
Right.
So I was like, I bet they're friends and they're just fucking around with each other. But
I can confidently say we absolutely love each other.
That's good. I'm a big fan of his. Not as much, but...
No, I'm a big fan of his. Gotcha.
That was very quick.
Gotcha.
This is good, the insults and comebacks. Yeah.
I do that because usually my guests aren't as quick as me, so when I burn them, they could just look through the book.
I gotcha. This is half of Andy Kindler's act in this book. I love Andy.
Careful, man.
Andy's my friend. I'm joking.
We don't like to insult people that aren't on the show.
I'm not insulting. I'm laughing because it's Andy's my.
We'll bleep it. We'll bleep bleep the F word he just said every time he said it. Just say he's my and then
this
bleep
is
that.
An Andy Kindler joke right here. They asked you to be on Antiques Roadshow to be appraised. That's an Andy Kindler. That's like not.
Well,
I'm not saying
when
he
you
said
say
it.
Appraised.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. It's like an Andy Kindler joke.
You could do a better job. I'm going to ask you to put the headphones on if you don't do a better job with the microphone.
You can't angle it properly. There's no... Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Now we got it.
These are... Look, by the way, this is my road set. I take four suitcases on the road. Look at this.
You have a commitment that I would never have.
Right.
I'd be in front of a Zoom right now if I was on the road.
Yeah?
With my podcast, yeah.
Well, you have something I don't have.
What's that?
And then
followers?
Joe DeRosa, talking to you is such a pleasure. I feel like I'm going to get such a good night's sleep tonight. This episode is sponsored by Helix. Go to helixsleep.com/Tyso with Helix. Better sleep starts now. It's a very good mattress. This episode of Take Your Shoes Off is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com BetterHelp.com/Tyso to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Tyso. This episode is sponsored in part by DraftKings Sportsbook. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SHOESOFF, S-H-O-E-S-O-F-F. New customers could bet $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get 200 in bonus bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SHOESOFF. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes for details. Hey, we're about to get back to the episode. I understand you've seen some ads. You're going to see a few more later. This is how we pay the bills. It's how we keep the lights on. But I just want to say I'm doing my own stand-up show at the Irvine Improv in California, March 16th. If you want to come on down, ticket link is in the description. Cheers.
My podcast needs all the gimmicks. My podcast needs a nice mic arms.
Your podcast does animation. Very well. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I was just being humble.
Oh, okay. Got it. All right.
Let me see that book. Let me show you.
I'm going to have to throw it.
Of course.
Because I don't want to get out of the mic position.
You're such a winner. When someone tells you get a life, you say, I already have one.
Wow.
See, what
that's
actually
like
says,
a positive insult.
Yeah, that's what I do. Because it says You're such a loser. When someone says get a life, you ask where.
Okay. Got it.
I think it would be fun to keep this literally in your back pocket, right? So if you end up getting in a scuffle with somebody, call me out. Say bully me.
Hey, Four Eyes. How about I make you need a thicker set of glasses? Because I'm going to punch your eyes till they're damaged more.
Is that the best you've got? No joke.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
They're like, the publishers are never going to read this. Let's just bulk it up.
Easy, you ignorant fuck. Wow. I'll come over there and pull down your pants and stick my cock so deep inside your asshole, your mom's going to say, could I suck that guy's cock out of your mouth? It's going from your ass out of your mouth.
That's not what it says. You show me what it actually says.
Is that?
It says, can you do better? You can't do better than that. That's what it actually says. You're like, I was interpreting.
Well, you know, you make it your own. It's something we've learned as comedians.
I actually would read this book every single time I sat on the toilet if I had it in my bag.
It is a toilet-looking book, isn't it?
It's
a hardcover, but it's small.
Yeah, and it would make me laugh. I keep magazines in the bathroom myself. What's that?
I'm just looking because...
Oh, that's right. You told me you were going to do that, and I forgot.
Yeah, but also, this is... I have yet to... I've done a few podcasts in here so far, but I've yet to go through and edit any of them, and I don't know what it all looks like, and I feel like the ISO might be a little high here, but we'll do some color correction. The audience doesn't need to hear about this.
No. That'd be great if that was the whole podcast, was just the technical talk.
I've thought about that because sometimes I'm like setting up more and like moving the lights and stuff. And I thought I think I said it on one of these podcasts here that it would be such a mild episode of Punk'd if just you invite someone over for a podcast and just 90 minutes you just keep.
My friend Brian McCarthy, who's very funny. He's not a stand-up, but he's very funny. I don't mean to say that like you have to be a stand-up to be very funny. I just mean because we're stand-ups.
It sounded that way.
Sorry. Anyway, he did I don't know if he still does it or not, but he had a podcast called The Mansplaining Podcast, and every episode was him explaining what a podcast was for like 45 minutes. And he really committed to the bit, and it was really funny.
Why do you think he stopped? He covered all the
He might
notes?
Still be doing it. I'm not sure. I know he did a couple, and I assumed like, well, he's only going to do a few of these, yeah. But he might still be doing it. I don't know. I should ask him. I know he still does a podcast.
Get him on the phone. You won't be able to hear.
That's all right. I talk to him constantly. I don't need to.
I've known you for a long time, but we don't really know each other.
Well, we met judging Roast Battle at the Comedy Store.
I forgot about that. I remember going to do your show. Or a show with you somewhere.
That was the second time I met you. Right. It was Blake Wexler's show.
Shout out to Blake.
Shout outs to Blake. Also very funny and is a stand-up. But we met at we were judging Roast Battle.
At the Comedy Store.
Up in the belly room.
Are you past at the Comedy Store?
Here's the funny story. I was, and then the guy Tommy that used to run it, forgot that he passed me. And then now I'm not past.
You want me to get... You want me to get you one of these?
Yeah, I'd like my name on. Oh, not past. I thought you were past there.
No, this is my merch, dude.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you.
I'd like to be on that damn wall.
More than getting one of these?
I'd take both. Why can't I do both?
Well, go to rickglassman.com, check out the store. Don't forget to use promo code boobs for 10% off.
Very good. But
so we were judging roast battle.
Yeah, and you I can't remember if you took a little dig at me or I took a little dig at you first. But you know, that's what you do. It's roast battle. Everybody's messing with everybody.
It was pre-COVID, dude.
Yeah, but I made a joke about you looking like Harold Ramis, and then your retort was, I played Harold Ramis.
Yeah, I got that from the book, to be honest.
In a movie. It was in
the- Oh, yeah? Well, I played Harold Ramis.
Yeah, asterisk, bottom of the page. This is for only certain people yeah. can say that. But no, and I was like, you in what? And you were like in the National Lampoon movie.
Yeah, futile and stupid gesture.
I was like, oh my God, that's wild. So, but here's the funny
part.
And
your shirt looks like I Ain't Afraid of No Ghosts, but it's actually.
It does a little bit, doesn't it?
Bad Religion, yeah.
Yeah. But then the funny part was so my connection to that movie is a very thin one.
Which movie?
The futile and stupid gesture? Yeah. David Wayne directed that movie. It was produced by the production company that produced
Abominable.
Yeah.
Shout out to John Stern.
Yeah, John Stern. What's up, buddy? They produced Wet Hot American Summer. That's right. Where I met David Wayne and John
Stern.
What
did you do in Wet Hot? Were you a writer?
I wrote on the first season.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
And then John Stern's company produced my stand-up special. But they produced it because we asked the day that I met with him,
John,
to ask John if he wanted to produce it and talk about it, I had to meet him on the set of that movie. So all I knew about that movie was John Stern, Abominable,
David Wayne,
what's his name from Will Sasso? Not Will Sasso, the other.
I'm sorry, Will Forte.
Will Forte, and maybe, then like
maybe that Will's more your forte.
And then like every actor who's affiliated with Abominable, which is very, you know, they do a lot of, it's like Adult Swim type stuff. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Or Wet Hot type stuff. So anyway, I met you. You said I was in that movie. I immediately assumed that you were full on like left side of the tracks, alt comic, blah, 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 blah. And then when I saw your stand up, which was the second time I met you, you were way edgier than I, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so surprised. Because I was afraid I was going to offend you when you
saw me. Because I was in that movie?
Because my immediate associate, I remember when John Stern said he wanted to produce the company to produce my special. I remember I was surprised because I was like, geez, John, I always thought you thought I was like some like New York scumbag or something. You know what I mean? Like when you're a guy from the clubs that only does like the, you know, I came up in the club comedy scene.
Although Tommy may have forgotten, but yes.
You know, yeah. you feel... maybe not everybody, but I always felt like a certain like insecurity when it came to the like Brooklyn-y side of comedy. I always felt like I was like looked down upon. Like I wasn't like, you know, I was all like dicks and whatever jokes and whatever.
Is Wet Hot American Summer David Wayne Brooklyn comedy?
Gulp, gulp, gulp.
Because David, much like me, is from Cleveland.
I would say it's very Wet Hot is very like. I was honored to be a part of it because it was very like
one of my favorite movies, by the way. The movie. I love the show too, but like
too.
That turned me on to
me
that series.
But it's certainly like cool kids comedy. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
it's an interesting way of looking at it. I bet you a lot of people would say it's the outcasts.
It's funny, and this is the first time I ever met Kurt Braunholer and Kristen Shaw. They were still doing like the comedy team thing together.
Okay.
I met them at a club called Comics in New York that's no longer there. Uh-huh. And Comics was the shiniest of all the New York clubs. Like it looked like a nightclub.
Right.
And I met them backstage at a show there. And I said, how do I get onto the shows that you guys do? Because those shows are like the sort of like cool kids shows or whatever. And they were like, what are you talking about? We're trying to get into here. You get paid to do comedy.
Right.
So I was like, oh, everybody always thinks the other thing is like the cool version.
Yeah, I believe the saying is the grass is nice. Yeah. Go play in it.
Yeah, it's nice grass. You look over the fence and say, nice grass. That's the saying.
Yeah. But careful, not anymore.
No, not anymore.
You can't talk about somebody else's grass.
Climate, no.
No.
So anyway, I still carry a little bit of that. And I thought when I met you and when we were on that stand-up show together, I was like, oh, this is that guy that's like in that Cool Kids movie. He's going to think I'm some kind of like dirt pig up here on stage with my comedy. And then you were like very edgy. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And that was it. And then I asked you if you wanted to get drunk and you said, I don't really drink. And I was like, God damn it.
That's funny. It's you go, you don't think this guy's okay. You want to get drunk? I'm like, oh, no, you fucking pig vomit. I don't think so.
No, dirt pig. Yeah.
Yeah, you said, I don't remember what you said, but when you said it did make me think of and Private Parts. Do you remember Paul Giamatti?
Pig vomit. Yeah. Yeah. I love pig vomit.
Yeah.
And people say I look like Paul Giamatti.
WNBC.
Yeah. That is one of the greatest small, meaning just size-wise, roles ever in a movie.
Paul Giamatti in Private Parts?
It's PGIPP. How many times have you seen, like, that's one of those classics, like, this guy just stole the show. Who the fuck is this guy? He came in the third act. And like,
but he was an established actor at that point. I don't remember.
He was like one of those guys. You're like, oh, I remember he was in like The Negotiator as one of the hostages.
I love The Negotiator. Rewatched it this past summer.
I saw it once in the theater and I enjoyed it.
Oh, loved.
I don't really remember. He's in it. Remember? Yeah. He's like the Hawaiian shirt gambler guy.
Yeah, he's sitting in the chair. This was pre-John Adams then.
Or way pre-John Adams. The movie that made Paul Giamatti was American Splendor.
Don't think I saw it.
American Splendor is amazing. You should see it.
That's the one where, because the sugar problem in America, so instead of using sugar, they use those little pink packets.
Splenda, yeah. Sorry, I said Splendor. It's American Splenda, yes. the movie, the Woody Allen movie, Sweet really Lowdown, is actually about the sugar.
But correct me if I'm wrong. That movie was just released in the States. And then they ended up releasing it in England, correct? And the reviews were, correct me if I'm wrong, American Splenda, splendid. We'll be right back.
Yes.
And we're back.
You're right. You got it.
Fucking Jew fuck. Jesus Christ, put the book down.
think about like he steals the show in that movie. And I just remember being like, who is this guy? Except being like, that's the guy from The Negotiator. Like, I did remember that.
One of my favorite movies that, and if you look at the list of the movies that most people haven't heard of, let alone seen, is a Paul Giamatti film called Win-Win. You ever see it?
Yes.
What do you think?
It's a nice movie.
Great movie.
Yeah. I like any movie. I'm a sucker for, and I mean, they've made it a million times. There's a Woody Harrelson one about to come out. But I'm always a sucker for the guy has to coach the team and the team's not doing well.
Yeah, it's with a bunch of neurodiverse players, the Woody Harrelson one.
Is that The Dishwasher?
Nope. That is time for Read My Horoscopes. Joe DeRosa, birthday, April 15th, 1963.
Wrong.
Oh.
No, 59.
1959?
Yes.
Okay.
April 16th.
It says here, I just sent it to the back of your book. Go ahead. Read it out loud, please. The very back.
Your mama.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. That was horoscopes. Yeah.
It's written yo mama on the back because the book is racist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait. I actually think what's racist is you thinking saying yo is racist.
I just thought it was a funny concept that the inanimate object would be racist.
But what's racist about saying yo? Is there a certain type of person that says the word yo?
I think it's prejudiced against the music group Yo-Yo Ma.
Is that a group?
Yes.
Isn't he just a cellist?
This is just a cellist.
Pardon me. You know what? I'm trying to remove saying just in front of things subconsciously because it does minimize it.
Yeah, it does.
But just, I meant not a group of people. It's just one.
Just one.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know how he identifies.
I think he identifies as just one.
You don't know that.
Let's get him on the phone.
Let's get him on the phone.
You won't be able to hear.
Yeah. It's fine. I don't want to talk to
you. I actually call Yo-Yo Ma and you think it's a bit. You're like, well, he is alt.
Well, I always think Yo-Yo Ma's a group because there was a female vocal heavy group called Zap Mama.
Loved Zap Mama. Their older stuff.
The girl I went out on, I went out on one date with, who I was in love with, who then shot me down after the first date. She loved Zap Mama, and I bought the damn CD because I wanted to be cool. See, I got this inferiority thing. I want to
get
everybody
into it, but and even though this should not be a priority, I can't help but think it's a bit washed. I'm checking that, changing that ISO. Give me one sec. Let me interject you. All right, now it's going to be tough for you in the audience to recognize the YouTube one, at least the difference, because we did color correct. But I'm curious, from right before I stood up, in fact, we'll put a side-by-side of what it looked like when we were talking before to this. Could you see a difference, and do you like this more? In the comments, if you like it more, say, I like it more. Joe DeRosa has a big wiener.
Okay.
If you can't tell the difference, right, I can't tell the difference, Joe DeRosa has a medium-sized wiener.
Okay.
And if you like the other one more, say, Joe DeRosa has a tiny penis. I like the other one more. So your inferiority complex.
People are actually going to write that.
Yeah.
And then it'll become some bit.
Come some bit. Isn't that Japanese the chicken dish?
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the insults in the book. I told you it's racist.
Sure. You did tell me. So what's up with this girl that you loved after one date? Did you love her before? Like, did you have a crush and you got to go out with her?
No, when I was, I guess I was probably in my early 20s. I think I fell in love with every single woman I went on a date with.
You know, that's interesting because you feel inferior. So when somebody sees you positively, you want to hold on to that. Is that fair?
There's definitely that. I've definitely suffered from it in my life.
What is that, by the way? Have you seen those before?
I know, now you're going to do the thing. No, I definitely had the thing. I guess you call it imposter syndrome, where if something's going well, you're like, the other shoe will drop at any moment here. This will be ruined at any moment because of me doing or saying something stupid. I used to have it on stage. Where I'd be like doing well when I was a younger comic, I'd be doing well and I'd think to myself, I can only mess this up. I will mess this up.
During the actual set or like and you're on a run of good shows?
No, during the actual set. Okay. And I would want the set to end because I was like, I'm doing well. I'm going to screw it up.
Like in Seinfeld where he goes, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like leave on a good
moment.
Yeah,
but it was like, you know, it was in a sort of crippling way.
Where does this come from?
I would assume abandonment issues from being adopted.
Oh, you were adopted?
Yeah.
Both mother and father?
Yes.
Yeah. How long were you in the system?
I was abandoned by both.
Wow.
And then readopted by one.
Interesting. The word abandoned makes you think of everything as that. Everything. Even Yo-Yo Ma you thought was abandoned.
Yeah, no, I don't. Honestly, I don't look at it. I'm joking. I don't
Real
look
quick, did you hear my pun?
Yes. Yo-Yo Ma was, yeah, it was good. It was very good.
I did well, a band.
Get a compliments book here, too, so we can retort with nice things. So
you're not supposed to say retort. You're supposed to say neurodiverse. How old were you when
I don't see adoption as a, I don't see being put up for adoption as abandonment. I actually see it as a really stupid and futile gesture, to be honest.
And we're back.
No, I see it as a really beautiful gesture for a child that you're unable to raise properly, if that's what you assume.
There's a clip,
but you do have abandonment issues because of it.
I want to cut to a clip that I just saw on Instagram of a child's. I've seen a few of these before, but this one really hit you over the holidays. Child giving a note to the to-be father as saying he wants to be adopted and just how beautiful they are connecting to it.
Read it out loud.
You have to read it out loud.
I want to thank you for always being here for me. Thank you for teaching me how to be a man like that. Thank you for always treating me like your son. You have always been a dad to me. I love you. My big question is, will you adopt me? Hell yeah. Oh, that's the best present I've ever got. You know how to spell that?
We were supposed to act. Yeah.
No. I learned in acting class. It's more interesting for the audience to see somebody struggling to hold back the tears than to be blubbering.
You know what? The,
which is true.
There's that's not exactly right. And as an award-winning dramatic actor,
what'd you win for?
My show, As We See It.
Oh, that's right. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
I did see that won some awards.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But it's less about needing to hold back the tears and more about not forcing the tears.
As We See It, canceled.
Yeah. But
as not enough of us saw it.
Yes. But on ABC, I think it's probably already out now, starting February 8th on Wednesdays. Not dead yet.
It's reruns?
There's another show.
Oh, the show's... I thought you were saying As We See It is not dead yet.
No.
There's a new show called...
Oh, it's different.
Not Dead Yet.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That's great. That's fantastic. Congrats.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cry. Cry, cry, cry.
Right. Tell me one of your jokes. So how old were you when your parents left you? Have you ever met them? Why'd they decide to get rid of you? And how long were you in the system? Sing about it.
I was never in the system. That's so funny to refer to as the system. I guess it is, though.
Yeah.
I was adopted at 9 days. I never knew any other thing. My adoptive parents told me from day one. Day nine. I don't remember them ever telling me.
Like, so I 9 months in the womb and then 9 months, 9 days in the system.
In the system. Hard 9 days. Yeah. Hard 9 days.
HND.
Yeah.
Good band.
Solitary confinement.
So when your mom was pregnant with you, did she know that she was giving it up? And so she probably already had it, because 9 days.
They don't let you talk, you know, you can't.
But your mom never told you how they found you? I mean, did they work with...
Well, it was through an agency, but the agency doesn't give you any information about your parents. They give us a little information, but they can't give you, you know...
I understand.
They probably told us more than they should have. They gave us some ethnicity information. And
were they white?
Egyptian, and as far as I know, Italian.
Yeah, well, obviously.
You know? But
as we all know.
But then I did, the DNA things, and they all were 100% Arab. There was like no... Basically no Italian blood. So
I recently did one and it turns out I'm 100% that bitch.
Oh, nice. I got boss bitch on mine. Sorry. That's better.
So your mom and your dad, now you were adopted by a married couple. Are your parents together still?
Oh yeah.
And they told you at what age, you think?
I literally don't remember them telling me.
Always knew.
So they clearly just, it was just folded in from the beginning.
Right.
You know,
and
they didn't tell me that I was Egyptian until I was 12. That's true.
How'd they sit you down and tell you?
My parents are Catholic.
Sure.
And they're fairly religious. My dad's.
Do you think it's a good religion?
I don't practice it, but it seems to have done well for them. It seems to do well for certain people. So if it works for you, God bless. As long as you're not hurting anybody else or taking it too seriously. I like this new Pope who's got a much more open mind about, you know, gay marriage and stuff like that. I think that's great. I think that's what the church needs.
Yeah.
But and my parents aren't preachy. It's just kind of their own thing. But
so the shirt has nothing to do with your parents' religion?
Well, it's their one bad religion is one of my favorite bands.
Coincidence?
It's not a coincidence. It's Bad Religion was the first band. George Carlin and Bad Religion played a big role in my formative years because they were the first artists I'd ever heard
speak out against
question religion.
Right.
And I didn't, it's not like I was like, yeah, screw you, God. I just was like, oh, there's like, you can challenge this and question it and whatever. Yeah. And I like, you know, and Bad Religion has even said, this isn't like an anti Jesus symbol or something. It's just an anti-authoritarian symbol. Like, don't tell me what to think.
Like Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like Bad Religion better.
I just did.
I like Rage Against the Machine.
Ari's podcast, and he had brought up Rage Against the Machine as an anti-government doesn't matter. We could swipe to it.
There are songs that I could probably even sing along to that I never really listened to. I know the words to. I have no idea what the song is about.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you're like, you say, and then sometimes you hear it, you're like, oh, what? This is what happened after, you know, whenever it got like activated during Trump and a little bit during Obama. Everyone got mad at everybody for everything. And they heard Rage Against the Machine for the first time again. Mm. But they actually really listened. They're like, wait, this is anti... this is anti-government?
Right.
And be like, yeah. And then Triple had a joke like, did you think it was rage on behalf of the machine?
We're back.
Wow, that was good stuff.
Yeah. So that was just on the mind.
Well, so I don't think it's a coincidence. Mm-hmm. But also too, so you asked me how they told me I was Egyptian. We had a Blessed Mother statue next to the swimming pool. And I was in the pool with my mom, and she swam me over to the Blessed Mother statue and said, I'm telling you this in front of the statue so you know that I'm not lying, because I would never lie in front of the Blessed Mother. And she told me, and I didn't believe her, and she kept saying, this is why I'm telling you here. And I don't know exactly why she waited so long to tell me, but I think a lot of it had to do with being overly protective. We lived in a very... similarly minded, very white suburban neighborhood. You know, it was the 80s. People were less open minded, and
so I think, you were born.
I think she was scared that I'd get like persecuted in some way for being different.
I have your mom on the. Well, give me one sec.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Hi. Yes. Rick Glassman, the Take Your Shoes Off podcast. I have your son. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Correct. But son, you get it. Mm-hmm. And we were wondering, why is it that you waited until he was 12 to tell him that he was... No, it's okay. Why was it that you were 12, or he was 12, when you told him you were... when he was Egyptian? Egyptian. Got it. Makes sense. Thank you. Yep. Yes. Yes. All right.
I couldn't hear anything.
All right. Bye.
This is how I take her calls normally, by the way. I don't have the headphones on.
Oh, no, you can't hear?
I leave the phone across the room.
She said that I guess you went to a school dance and you were dancing like this.
Yeah, but that wasn't because of Egyptian stuff. I had a back brace. It was very hard to do any kind of moves.
Coincidence?
Who knows? I think most people who have back braces, it's a self-imposed back brace. I feel like they deep secretly want it.
I have a question. After she told you, did you say, thank you, mommy, for telling me?
I said, yes. I said, mommy. I said, mom, I'm not in denial here.
Right. No. Did she decide to adopt?
It took me that long to think of an Egyptian joke.
Did she decide to adopt because she was infertile and she could tell because she didn't, she couldn't have a period? A pyramid?
God damn it. It was almost perfect.
What?
Yeah, I know. No, but you screwed it up.
Did I?
Yeah, because you said period, and then
if
you had hit pyramid first, I was like, that would have been excellent.
Give me another take.
All right.
Ooh. Jeez, it feels 1 minute earlier. Your mom can't have a pyramid. Period.
This episode is sponsored in part by Helix Sleep. Now, if you're a big Take Your Shoes Off fan, first, thank you so much. And second, you know that daddy loves his Helix Sleep. And of course, I'm talking about my daddy, as well as me.
Gulp, gulp.
We have so many Helix mattresses in our homes that, you know, that I'm glad that we have them. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences. You go, you take the little quiz. Do you sleep on your side? Do you sleep on your back? Do you like it firm? Do you like it soft? Do you like it hot? Do you like it cold? And if you don't love it, you have 100 days risk-free to return it. Now, when I say return it, I don't mean drive it somewhere. I mean just put it outside. They're going to come and pick it up for you. For free. You heard me right. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. This mattress is American made and comes with a 10 to 15 year warranty. And don't forget about that 100 night risk-free
trial.
Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by both GQ and Wired magazine. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Tyso. That's HELIXSLEEP.com/TYSO. With Helix, better sleep starts now. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp, and if you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a good way to go. Here's the deal. It helps you find a clinical licensed therapist, usually within 48 hours, and you get to do it from the comfort of your own home or anywhere you are. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Now listen, therapy, I don't believe, is just for people who are really going through it. Therapy is also maintenance. It's also just for better self-awareness and for better understanding of self. It's having somebody to talk to and somebody who understands how to recognize some patterns in the things you're saying to maybe pinpoint some reasons you're feeling the way you're feeling when you might not be that conscious of it. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/Tyso today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Tyso. This episode is sponsored by DraftKings. Now, if you like betting on sports, I got good news and I got bad news. The good news is new customers could bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. The bad news, I bet you're going to bet on the Bears, and man, the spread on that's got to be fucking wide because, you know, and if I could bet on something, I'll bet on my grandma swearing about her Cleveland Browns.
Get him! What the fuck you letting him? Oh, Jesus Christ. You
download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SHOESOFF. New customers can bet $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SHOESOFF. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes for details.
They couldn't. I don't think this is TMI on their part. They couldn't have kids. That was why they adopted. Yeah.
I understand.
So, you know, sadly, but yeah, it worked out for me. And it worked out for them, quite frankly. You know, you think their biological kid would be running around doing TV and podcasts?
Maybe.
They would have birthed some loser accountant.
Or maybe somebody that goes to like some type of like prestigious school. And, you know, what's it called when they're on the boats? They did in The Social Network. Oh, the fair rowing team.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Fair row.
You mean a nerd? I would have beat that kid up.
What would he have said back to you?
This is what I'd say to a rower.
Fair rower.
You'd steal the straw from your mother's kennel.
That's good.
Well, guess what the one before it is? The one before it is terrible.
Okay.
You'd make a great politician. Like, that's not really.
Ooh, no, that's a good dig.
It's
I know
what it,
I know about like, you. I feel like you'd make a good politician. That's kind of a more subtle. You have a good face for radio.
Yeah, it's not as good, you know.
Well, this is the reason the radio one hit so hard.
This one I like a lot. Ready?
Hold on.
Calling you a dirty liar would be an insult to dirty liars.
You could use that formula with anything. Calling you an insult would be an insult to the, you know, calling you a fucking piece of shit garbage. Junkie.
That was one of my favorite Dennis Miller jokes where he goes, I'd call him a scumbag, but it would be an insult to bags filled with scum.
Dennis Miller's show, I watched some of it a few years ago.
The HBO one?
Yeah. His what was it called? Show. The live one.
The HBO one was incredible.
But the jokes were so above everyone's head that I only knew they were funny because of the cadence.
He said on the Fly on the Wall podcast, the David Spade Dana Carvey one, he said that he has jokes where he goes, it's just a rhythm joke. I don't like the reference doesn't even make sense.
He goes, yeah.
He said that.
They were talking about friends. Yeah, a bunch of 20 something year olds with medium jobs living in a place that big in New York City. Yeah, that kind of money, they'd be better off living in a closet as flaky as Billy Bartlett's shoulder.
Yeah,
I'm like, huh?
It works though. I'm like laughing, sure. And I don't know if you don't understand the reference. Uh-huh. That show. That 90s, late 90s, early aughts talk show that he did on HBO, to me, was the most, it's arguably my favorite talk show that's ever existed. And like, it is, I thought it was the most perfect socio-political balance I'd ever seen on television, where it was just hitting both sides so evenly.
Do you like Real Time with Bill Maher?
I'm not a huge fan of the show itself because I'm not a big fan of like panel talk around, you know, whatever. I've done it, but I don't like to watch it. But I appreciate the show. It's just not really something I would watch because it's definitely more like politics than comedy. I felt like Miller's show was political comedy.
The New Rules segment at the end of Bill Maher. At the end of every episode, there's new rules.
Yeah, I know.
That is always really good to me.
I like those too, and people hate those, and then I'm afraid will now call me a Nazi in the comments.
For hating them or for liking them?
For liking them. People like get people like people on the left get furious with him.
And everyone's like, no one's on the left or the right, dude, except for their personalities on Twitter. No one gives a fuck.
I also don't understand like only subscribing to things you agree with all the time. Like or like I did and it was only a couple people. For the most part, everybody was cool. But I did Gutfeld last night and I got some messages today in on Instagram.
What's Gutfeld?
He does a late night talk show on Fox and it's a funny show its goal is to be funny and uh-huh. loose and whatever, but it's political issue, but it's on Fox. So obviously they have some pretty conservative guests on and stuff, mm-hmm. but like a couple people wrote to me like, why dude, why tell me you're not actually doing this show. And it's like, I don't understand what you want out of life. Do you want everybody that you listen to or admire or are a fan of or whatever it is you want to call it to only do things that you also agree with? Like, so you want there to be one unified voice on every platform mm-hmm. everywhere and you just ignore the ones that you don't? It's just such a weird way to live to me.
How did it go? When you were done, did you stand up and take an in-bow?
I bowed. I got some flowers. I've done
embalm.
Did you embalm?
I said embow, as in bowing.
Oh, I thought. Embalm. Well, I thought you meant did I just stand up and bow?
Yeah, I used I that but one.
Did you do well or did you embalm?
Yeah,
yeah. I've known Greg since for 15, 20 years. Which is it? Either. It's whatever I want it to be right now, and I'm gonna say both.
Okay.
But do you know what I mean? Do you agree with this or?
Yeah.
Sorry. I tend to talk like sometimes on podcasts, I'm not like silly enough. I get into like the conversation of it. I don't know if this is that kind of.
This is whatever the energies of me and my guest come to, and we bring whatever we are. And as long as we, you could just fucking switch which legs are crossed at some point, then it's all going to be good.
Wait, no, you told me you didn't like this way. You wanted it the other way.
I was joking.
Fuck off, dude. I remember when you only had one chin.
Oh, come on.
Oh, these are good fat jokes. If you weighed 5 more pounds, you could get group insurance. That's good. That color really complements your stretch marks. Jesus Christ, that's a low blow. Go ahead, pull up a sofa.
That's good. That's funny.
Yeah, that's great. All right.
It's a good book.
It's a great book.
I should sell it as merch, just that one. I've thought about doing that, selling stuff as merch, but just like things, like I need to get rid of my Peloton, for example.
Okay.
Just throwing stuff on my website that I want to sell.
Okay. All right.
You okay? I liked it.
Yeah, I'm just admiring this apartment. It's a great,
beautiful space.
I want to know what the rent is in here.
Oh, I can't tell you on here.
I want to know though. I really want to know real bad. Like it's like irking me. You know what I mean?
What would you guess?
Because of where we are, and I won't give away the location.
Thank you. You mean 2023?
$3,000 a month. Really?
Oh yeah.
How much higher?
Bleep this. $19,000.
Oh, stop it.
You said it like such a mom. Oh, cut it out.
No, because I thought you were going to give me a real number. I got excited.
Not on this.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But is it higher than that?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. It's a two-bedroom.
I know, but we're...
Two full baths.
We're out.
High ceilings.
You know, we're out.
I don't want to say where we are.
Yeah, but we're...
You're not that out.
Yeah.
Technically, it's out.
Right.
But it's not that out.
Sure.
You were all the way east in the city. You could have gotten here in 20 minutes if there wasn't a traffic jam.
Sure. Absolutely. Got it.
But more, yeah.
We're in Connecticut. we're in Sleepy Hollow.
I want to know more. I still want to get into the inferiority complex.
Let's get into it.
Ari said something to me.
About me? What the fuck did he say?
That.
There you go.
Ari said he loves you so much.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's nice.
And you dish it. You dish it. But you get real sensitive when people dish it, give it back.
Oh,
and
you he's have to be, so full of shit.
Listen to this. Listen.
When do I get sensitive when I would? I don't believe he said that, by the way. Now I don't believe he said it.
Let's get him on the
phone.
Don't
call him. I don't want to put the headphones on.
Hey, I haven't checked the text yet, but small world. I don't know if I'm using that saying right, but the timing, I wanted to get Sal on this podcast.
Okay.
And well, you do a podcast with
Sal.
Yeah,
reach out to him.
No, but I just got texts from him.
Oh.
So I just think that's funny that while you're here.
Well, people often ask me, can you ask Sal? I thought you were going to do that.
To do it? No. I don't have that kind of relationship with you. I very, very rarely ask somebody to get a guest for me.
Oh, this sounds nice. Call Ari. We can do the thing where then I call him, and then if he picks up, it's awkward.
Wouldn't be awkward. You guys are New York brothers.
Hello? Ari, didn't... He's not good at answering the phone, I've noticed.
Cut to him trying to answer the phone, but he can't, fumbling over it.
So wait, what did he... Did he really say that? Because if he really did, I'd love to talk about it.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think that it was in play while also inspired. Like, yes. He wouldn't have said it out of nowhere.
No.
And I don't see what
he's
saying.
I'm not insulted by it.
You seem very... I'm sorry, brother. I meant nothing by it. I think you're cool. I think you're cool, man. Relax.
I think I can... I think with how I would correct his statement is I do dish it. I can dish it. I am also a sensitive person.
Yes.
But I don't think that... But I also think I'm good at, like, taking shit from people.
I think you're really great at it.
Like, as ball breaking, I mean.
Ball busting.
But actually, maybe he's right. Maybe I do get a little... Like, I don't get like, screw you, dude. Like, but I might get a little like, oh man.
Yeah, he said that, like, you guys will do the play. Da, 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 da. But he goes like, but after the fact, it would benefit to then be like, by the way, I was just joking around. And then you'd be like, no, I know. But you get a little sense.
Ari will. So I know why he's saying that. And I have said to Ari, like, were you mad at me? Ari will joke in a way where it is, you're like, what? You know what I mean?
Because you don't get it, or because it's too aggressive?
He does it the joke is that he's being an asshole. Right. And like, it's not like, hey, you know, it's not like, hey, Joe, it takes you longer to rest than it did to get tired. You know what I mean? Like, it's not.
Wait, I don't get it.
I takes guess you longer. You're lazy. You sleep too much.
Takes you longer to rest than get tired. I guess because he's resting there.
Okay, how about this? Ari won't be like, hey, Joe, you're so old, you fart dust.
And then imagine you were like, come on, man.
Yeah. Daniel Van Kirk used to do this really funny thing where you'd be like, he'd walk up. He walked up to me once at a festival, and there was a bunch of us, and he said something about, like, you guys heading back to the hotel? And I was like, I am to meet your mom, you know, some dumb, right, like, whatever. And he goes, can I talk to you for a second? And it was such a funny bit of, like, the guy that gets way too serious about, like,
Brent, do you know
the
Brent
most
Morin?
Benign joke. Huh?
Do you know Brent Morin?
Yeah, I love Brent.
He and I do a bit like that a lot, where if we're in a group and we say something, it's a mild thing, yeah, or even just something that's not even an insult but takes away from somebody a little. It'll be, that's fine. Can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah.
Same exact thing.
Yeah, so it's so funny.
Uh-huh.
But Ari will do a bit where the bit is like, yeah, dude, you're off the fucking invite list now because I've had it with it. Like, you know, like, and you're like, wait, what?
And you don't know he's joking.
No, because that doesn't sound like, right, a joke. And then I'll respond and be like, you know what, dude, fuck you and fuck your invite list then. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and
Jesus.
Then I'll be like, dude, I'm just kidding. And I'm like, well, that didn't sound like you were kidding. That sounded like you were really mad that I couldn't make it to this thing. And then you said I was off like some
He's
fucking
gaslighting
invite.
You into showing some colors, though. It reminds me of a Fresh Prince episode. Have you heard of that show?
Who?
The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It's from the guy that
It's about a prince that gets too handsy. It's about Prince Andrew.
No.
Is Prince Andrew the one that just got banned?
Banned from?
From Buckingham. I think it's Prince Andrew.
Oh, the one that's married to Meghan Markle?
No. Prince Andrew just got, I think it's Prince Andrew. King Charles just banned Prince so-and-so because like he got like Me Too accusations and stuff.
Oh, but that's not Prince. That's, oh, right, the older man. That Prince he's Charles.
No. He's King Charles now. There's a prince.
Right.
Named Prince, I think Andrew, I think it is. The guy that was married to Fergie, not Fergie. Was it Fergie?
Oh, then I don't know.
Not the singer about. Fergie, the red hair.
Yeah, the older one who's like was lady. Like touching.
Yes. But that was pretty quick. The Fresh Prince.
It was really good.
He gets two hands.
Are you familiar with the Fresh Prince of Van Nuys?
No.
You know, I was sixth lead on the show once.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool, man.
Show called Fresh Prince.
Yeah. Who were you on Fresh Prince, man?
Play a dude called Skippy.
You were Skippy on Fresh Prince?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a mailman.
He was the mailman.
But he was just like he delivered mail like three times a day.
What was one of your lines?
It's Skippy time. Skippy, if you fresh.
Skippy, if you fresh? It sounds like Prince. A catchphrase. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Skippy, if you fresh Prince?
It starred Prince Fielder.
Hey, what was the name of the show that you were on?
It was The Fresh Prince of Van Nuys. We did a season and a half.
There's an episode where they record the lottery numbers, like the Super Bowl, the big lottery numbers, winnings. And then replace Jeffrey, their butler's lottery ticket, with the winning numbers. And when he's going to watch, they press. So Jeffrey is in his room, and he watches,
joke.
And he sees he wins. And when Jeffrey wins the lottery, he just goes off and starts breaking something, and fuck you, and fuck you. But you know, a network multicam version of that. And they're
so
like, we were just joking.
Sucker.
Yeah, it was more like cocksucker. Yeah. Eat my balls, you know.
Eat my ass, you scum. Right.
And then he's like, and he's like, oh, well, I'm embarrassed now. I have to quit.
Yeah, that's like, did you ever see the Twilight Zone where the guy has the bunker, he builds a nuclear...
Is this where he breaks his glasses?
No. He builds a nuclear, you know, what's that called?
Fallout shelter.
In his basement, and they're in like, all the neighbors kind of rib him like, you worry too much, like everything, and then they make an announcement that there's an airstrike. And he, you know, takes his family down and all the neighbors try to get in. And he's like, I'm sorry. I warned all of you.
Right.
You all said I was stupid. I cannot let you in. I do not have room. I warned you all to do this for yourselves. And that's it. And they all start to just insult one another and whatever. And then it turns out it was a false alarm. And then at the end, it's just the moral is we will never be able to repair this. Like,
now, was the problem the person who didn't let them in, or was the problem the people who were insulting people?
No, the people that, like, what they reduce themselves to when they become desperate to save their own lives. It's kind of like the monsters are on Maple Street.
That's the Breakfast Pixar movie?
Yes. It's about Maple Street as a syrup street.
Right.
It's more like a river, but like...
or just a sticky road, I guess.
A really gross road.
Those frogs are hopping in the lily pads, which are pancakes.
It's about a waffle man. The waffle man, he comes syrup everywhere.
Okay,
it's kind of inappropriate for kids to be.
We'll
honest.
Cut to a clip. I remember that because somebody actually, it's really weird because somebody sent me this a while ago because they thought we were in it because the people with the waffle man look like us.
What are you paying this editor, by the way?
And we're back.
These edits don't really go in, do they? This is all a gag, right?
Speaking of gag, open your mouth.
Yeah, I was going to say, like...
Goblin is now inserting himself in Joe's mouth.
But do any of these edits actually go in?
It's the sound of him.
That one you gave it away, because I was like, there's no way that he's getting these levels of animations done.
Okay.
Well, maybe you are. I don't know. I'll never watch. But here's the point. Is it Ari?
No. But I do have to pee.
Is it my mom?
It is your...
I miss her.
Your mom does have some nice cans. It's a picture of your mom's headphones.
Right here. Those are beasts.
Do you miss your mom? Give your mom a call on the pod while I go pee.
Never.
Do you mind if I pee?
I don't give a shit. It's your show. I just wanted to tell you the last thing, though. Oh, I get it. You pissed your pants.
Market Blue.
Monsters on Maple Street is the classic Twilight Zone that's studied in like sociology classes and stuff. It's part of many college curriculums, but it's about where the aliens come and secretly turn off all anything that works with power at all. It doesn't work suddenly for no reason.
I assume they avoided the Amish countries.
Yes.
Okay.
But like, and yeah, basically that's what they do. They turn a suburban block in middle America into Amish, whatever. And like nobody understands why the electricity's out, why the cars don't work. Nothing works. And they all start to blame one another and they turn on each other and they descend into like pitchfork toting mobs within like hours.
I miss the old times.
Cuts at the very end to aliens observing it and saying, like, this is how easy it will be to divide and conquer this planet. Like, you just take the electricity away from them.
Right.
And they can't survive. They'll turn on each other and do the job for us. And it's very, very interesting. It's very, very interesting.
What we are based on the infrastructure that the generations before us gave us isn't what we are in intuitively without it. Like there's law and order, there's agriculture, there's plumbing, there's access, but we're just fucking animals.
Well, did you ever see the Carlin thing about like it would there's hair on my tongue. All it would take is the power going out for like basically the apocalypse to happen.
It sounds like the Waffle Monsters of Maple Street.
Yeah. Well, it's a little different because his isn't involving, like on that one, it's like anything, like even the cars don't work. Like if the power went out, your car would still work for a period of time at least.
When the power goes out for a couple of days.
Until you couldn't pump gas anymore or recharge a battery, right? But he talks about how quickly things would deteriorate if just the power grids went down. And he really breaks it down. It's very interesting because he talks about even like the jail cells, the prisons would open up because all of the prisons, the security and the locks are all operated through electricity.
Kind of like in which Batman was it with Scarecrow? Was it the first Christian Bale
first one? Yeah. Batman Begins.
Yeah.
The first one of that.
Of the Bale Nolan series.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saw Christopher Nolan walking.
Scarecrow. Hey.
Christian.
Never put that together. Bale, hay, scarecrow.
But why hay?
Because scarecrows are like, I guess you're right. I don't know. You stuff a scarecrow with hay, don't you?
Yeah, but why say hay?
Bales of hay, Christian Bale, scarecrow.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I never put that together.
Also, Bale is...
You're going to want to clip that.
Why? What do you mean? I guess maybe, and then just it ends with me getting syrup come to my mouth and you gagging on the cock. I do have to go pee though.
All right.
So since you said I miss my mom, why don't you give her a call and I'll be right back.
I'm not gonna call her, but
do you want? We could jump cut this cup to when I get back. But if you want to do a promotion for any tour dates or your podcast,
sure.
Or Instagram. We'll push in now, zoom in, put a little upbeat music. Give us the energy. How you guys doing? My name's Joe DeRosa, and I got something I want to tell you about.
All right. Hi, guys there. My name is Joe DeRosa, and I got something I want to tell you about. Rick Glassman told me to do it like this. Anyway, I'm coming to your city live, hopefully your city, because I'm coming to a bunch of cities, not every city. But anyway, I got a bunch of dates coming up. All over the place. I'm not sure when this comes out, but I'll be in Austin in January. I'll be in Levittown, Long Island in January as well. I'm going down to New Orleans, Baton Rouge, that area. I'm going to South by Southwest. I'm going to the Midwest, Chicago area in March. All kinds of live dates coming up. And I've got a residency of my new hour called I Never Promised You a Rose Garden at the Crane Theater in New York. We're doing one show a month as a residency. Anyway, all of the ticket information and purchase links and all that stuff is available at JoeDeRosaInfo.com.
JoeDeRosaInfo.com.
Also, my sandwich shop and bar, Joey Rose's, is here in New York City. It's open 7 days a week. We open at 11:30 a.m. every morning. Check it out at joeyrosesnyc.com. Come in and say hi, get drunk, get a sandwich. It's a good time. And then lastly, I got the Taste Buds podcast with Sal Volcano, available on YouTube every Monday on the No Fresh Network channel and the We'll See You in Hell podcast. Old episodes are available wherever you want to get them from, and new episodes are available at patreon.com/WSYIH podcast.
All right, so I take it you had something to plug, huh?
Jesus Christ, I should have taken a dump with all those
Sorry,
things.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
It's all right. We'll put it in fast forward a little. We'll put it in 1.2 speed.
Gigawatts?
You can't say that anymore. And that's 1.21.
I know, but it was close.
Yeah.
Was it gigawatts or jiggle? No, it's gigawatts, right? Or you see gigawatts?
Gigawatts.
It is gigawatts. It
sounds like gigawatts, right? Giga is what it would be.
Well, gig is, no, gig is information. So it would be
gig. Gig isn't information. Gig is size.
Yeah, but you don't measure power in gig.
It's size, though. So that's
but
what
it's
I'm
wondering. Size is it's data size. It's that's the only size.
I understand, but what's giga?
I think it's a unit of measure of electricity.
I thought it was a racial slur power. For a ghost.
Oh boy,
does that make sense? Because they go boo.
Oh, it makes sense, Rick. It makes a lot of sense with this whole podcast has racial issues. You know, shoes off pod. You're taking a piss of the Asian culture.
Asian community.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny that you think I'm taking a piss at them because you're judging their culture. I'm not fucking with...
I'm not judging them. I celebrate their culture. I have a kimono on underneath this.
I'm getting messages over here, huh?
From who?
From whom? My Asian friend, whom?
I could get Dr. Whom on the phone and he will let you know.
Who?
Whom?
I'm sorry, who?
No. His name is Dr. Whom. My doctor is named Seymour Whom.
How do you spell that?
W-H-O-M.
Oh, with the silent M. Okay.
No.
Who? Hmm. Whom? Are you saying hmm or hmm?
Dr. Whom? Knock, what? Knock.
Whom's there?
Who?
Your doctor.
Dr. Whom.
Okay.
All right. So this has been fun, man.
Yeah, I want to keep going.
How long does it go for?
I mean, sometimes they go over 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have to go that much, but I want to talk to you some more.
Okay, that's cool.
Do you want to go?
No. We can keep talking. That, like, go, like, keep talking. Yeah, let's keep talking.
I want
not for over 2 hours. Do you really go that long?
Some of them,
that's
yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good for you. That's commitment.
How long is your podcast?
We try to keep the episodes at an hour.
Right.
I don't want to listen to anything for more than that, you know, personally.
People don't just listen to them and have to finish it right away.
Sure.
It's something that they, you know, like that they piece together.
I get overwhelmed when I see a time limit on, you know, or amount of time.
Yeah.
On something.
What did you just breathe in?
It was going to be a burp and I stifled it.
This through line is an inferiority, and we didn't really get past much after the adoption to where, because you falling in love with a girl on one date is such a specific character trait that you're aware of. I want to hear about it.
Well, it's something I did when I was younger. I don't do it anymore, but...
You don't do it anymore because logically you know how to beat it, but is there still an emotional reaction where you're like, Joe, this is what you do, bud. Let's not get too invested.
I couldn't speak to specifically why I don't do it anymore. I think it was just a thing over time I had to learn about myself, like that it was false.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, look, I grew up in suburban America.
Suburban America.
And I grew up under people and around people.
Under people.
Like, meaning like all the adults and stuff that were, you know.
No siblings, right?
In charge, right? Yeah, no. And around people. And then my friends eventually grew up to be people that all were married and had kids and lived very traditional lifestyles. So I think in my early 20s, I didn't quite yet understand the depth of how unorthodox the lifestyle I was pursuing was going to be and what it would entail and what it would require. And I think, like, I kept thinking, like, there was a clock ticking, like, well, I have to meet my person because everybody's met their person. And, you know, I started to realize, like, well, you haven't met your person yet because you're not landed where you're going to land. Like, you're, you know, subconsciously your head is moving in a lot of different directions.
Sphinx, you owe me a Coke.
There you go. How long did you want to do Sphinx, you owe me a Coke?
I mean, I had Sphinx if there was a moment that I knew I could finish.
I got you.
But it wasn't like, I was finished.
I just finished.
Yeah?
In the front with cum.
I like how in your head you're like, I don't think I'm being silly enough. What's an easy way of being silly?
Cum. yeah. So I don't know. So I would get to, you know, I get probably clingy or so. I don't know what the term would be, but I would, you know.
Are you a Star Trek fan?
I'd cling on. And you know, and what I would do is then warp my own perspective.
I was like,
of the relationship. Wow, dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And high it would five. End up being a false enterprise.
Woo! You're much better with the Star Trek puns.
Yeah, there you than go.
With the Egyptian ones.
Yeah, but no, you know, I don't know if you ever went through that. Like, I don't know if you're a relationshipy guy or
well, you know, consummate, you would say that,
you know, a bachelor more than not, the show than not, I don't know.
I played a relationship Egon. Put up a picture of Harold Ramis as Egon. Harold Ramis is Egon, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if I were even better in that movie, I may have been closer to getting an EGOT.
Wait.
An Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony, an EGOT.
Oh, wow. Well, he didn't sing in the movie.
No, but you need one of, you need to get all of them.
Oh, I see.
So it would have gotten me closer to an
Who's
Oscar.
Who's got all of them? James, like, Corden?
No, I don't think. Whoopi Goldberg, I think, has one.
Chenoweth has one.
Kristen Chenoweth? Yeah, who has an EGOT? Has,
yeah.
Kristen Chenoweth came, was the first one that came up. Performers who are so close to an EGOT. Oh, that says close. I actually think.
I think there's only like three people that have it.
Who has an EGOT? List of EGOT winners. Richard Rodgers, of course. Helen Hayes, Rita Moreno.
Oh, okay.
John Julie God.
The only person I knew was Rita Moreno.
Aubrey Hepburn, Marvin okay. Hamlish. Okay. Speaking of, I only know of Marvin Hamlish. I mean, I know him now, but my first introduction to Marvin Hamlish was in a David Wayne vehicle, Role Models, when they called McLovin's character. He looks like a young Marvin Hamlish.
I like Role Models quite a bit.
Such a good movie.
It's so funny.
I really like that movie.
It's so funny.
Mel Brooks has one. Whoopi Goldberg.
Mel Brooks?
Yeah. I mean, he does so many musicals. Why not, right?
What the hell did he get an Oscar for?
Spaceballs.
Yeah, Dracula Dead and Loving It. Best costumes.
Oscar was in 1968. What
for the producers?
Be?
It had to be the producers.
That one, that wasn't a movie in 1968, was it? I would say...
what the hell else did he get an Oscar for? I mean, no disrespect to Mel Brooks. I'm just
best original screenplay, The Producers.
Oh, wow.
Best original song, Blazing Saddles.
Oh, wow.
Young okay. Frankenstein is best adapted screenplay. Okay. Scott Rudin, Andrew Lloyd Webber, John Legend. I think I knew that. John Legend and Jennifer Hudson.
John Legend has, what does he have an Oscar
you
for?
You could win Oscars, I think, for songs in a movie, right? Let's see, John Legend.
I feel like it doesn't count as much if it's like you have it because like you right. did like a Disney movie and you won best song for the one movie across like three of those. You know what I mean?
You won it for Glory. I knew that. His best original song.
But do you know what I'm saying?
I
like
know.
Like if you do a movie and that movie wins you three of those awards at once and then you're most of the way to the EGOT.
But like it's so, but like most things that win stuff because that movie or show or whatever was popular.
Gulp.
So no, you still win it. And also one could argue that the reason it was so good.
No, but I'm
so
more impressed with like a, and I might be wrong, but okay. like I feel like a Christine Chenoweth, like she's one of the people on that list where it's like she's probably been nominated many times
sure.
for many things and she's had a chance of winning many. That to me is more impressive than like, than like, and I'm an Eminem fan, but like,
do you want
Eminem as an Oscar for Lose Yourself. That's not quite the same thing to me as like Christine Chenoweth's having an award when she's like, no, I'm like kind of in the mix for this almost all the time.
But who's a better rapper?
Well, Chenoweth, you know? Chenoweth sounds like a rap name almost.
Yeah, because it's got like inherent value and worth.
And Hamlish always makes me hungry because it makes me, it sounds like a sandwich.
Hamburger Hamlet.
Yeah, or hamburger Hamlish, or Hamlish and cheese sandwich. Mm-hmm. Hamlish would be a good word for a fake ham.
It also sounds like it's good. To add lish, it's like that delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, Marvin Hamlish would be that's a great deli, like where they named the sandwiches after people.
Yeah, thinking that.
That should be a sandwich.
Yeah, let me get the Marvin Hamlish, no capers.
Oof. No. Yeah, capers would be bad on ham.
I learned about your sandwich shop from...
My plug?
Were you on Are You Garbage, or somebody was talking about your sandwich shop on Are You Garbage? Did you do Are You Garbage earlier this year?
I think I've been on twice now.
Yeah, because when I went on it last summer, and I was watching some, and I saw you were on it. So I think that's why I watched it.
Okay.
Because I remember you talking about it. And you just have a legit sandwich shop. This is one of your businesses, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about it. What does that mean? How'd you get into that?
Well, it was something that came out of lockdown and COVID, and it was something I always wanted to do. I had the idea when I lived in LA that I always wanted to open like a sort of traditional style East Coast sandwich shop. And originally I wanted to do it in LA because LA could use a place like that, I think, you know. There's a few of them, but
is it a problem that you're losing your Italian sandwich credibility by finding out that you're entirely Egyptian?
I think that adds a little mystique, personally.
Animate a little X-Men mystique by his.
There you go. I was just going to make such a bad joke. Never mind.
Well, we got to hear it now.
No.
We'll bleep the whole thing.
No. It didn't even make sense.
I watched you bail on it before getting rid of it. You went...
It upset me how bad it was, and it threw me off my footing for a second.
I want people to see that. Cut back. Zoom in a little slow motion, see him decide.
There you go.
But yeah, it's my partner, Paul Italia, who owns the stand. We were just talking about it during lockdown, and I told him the idea, and he was like, let's try it as a pop-up at the Stand Comedy Club. So we did, and it got a really nice response, and it kept doing pretty well, and we were like, he, maybe we could open a brick and mortar. And we had a chance to, and we did. And he was like, we should make it a bar too. Right. So it's the full experience.
Were you able to get a liquor license?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we did. And now it's a bar.
How often you go in?
Sandwich shop. How often what?
Do you go in?
Yeah, I try to go in a couple times a week, make sure everything's good. But
you're not managing.
Most of what I have to do is remote management work. I mean, it's a pretty small operation.
RMW?
Yeah.
Are you the talent?
Do you also have a sandwich shop that you know the terms like this?
My father grew up in the restaurant business.
Oh, wow.
And my brother's in the restaurant business. Shout out to the Greyhound in Glendale and in Highland Park.
Wait, your brother owns the Greyhound?
Mm-hmm.
I know that place.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a good place.
Great cornbread.
Yeah.
My dad's old recipe. It's called the Flo and Eddie's cornbread.
Oh, that's
my dad had a sports bar and grills growing up.
I'm a fan of their music.
So I remember I interviewed my dad in third or fourth grade for like a interview somebody assignment. And I asked him questions because of the restaurant. And where'd you come up with the name Flo and Eddie's? Like, I just thought about it. I don't know. I just pulled Flo and Eddie's. And I just always believed him. And years later, I found out that there was a band called Flo and Eddie's. And he goes, yeah, it's from the band. I just thought it sounded good. I'm like, I thought you came up with it. It felt like such a big lie to me.
I have a Zappa tattoo here on my arm. Got excited that you were going to say they were like family friends because they were in Zappa's band.
Oh, no.
And they also sang So Happy Together was their big hit.
So happy together. That's I thought that was a Beatles song.
No, that's Flo and Eddie's big hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't want to. Don't want to at all. Wish you would stop, quite frankly.
Sure.
The yeah, remote management work. And then I go in and, you know, and that's it. I was there on New Year's.
What kind of money are you making?
I mean, I can't get into it, but
I'll tell you the rent of this place.
I could buy and sell this fucking dump.
Throw me the book.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, well, your knees haven't touched in a decade.
Whoa, that is true. I am a bit of a sleaze.
These ones are counterattacks. It's a sad reality of life that you won't always be the one delivering the insult. Sometimes others will attack you. Since you don't know when or from where
this assault will occur.
Well, it's basically showing like here, like this is what you use for counterattacks. What are some of the other categories?
I thought you were reading actual retorts and I was like, that's very wordy.
I'm explaining what's going to be coming up next. Oh, this is explaining counterattacks and then it gives you a list of some counterattacks. You don't want to blow a gasket because I'm not a mechanic. Okay. I may be immature. But this is what you do if somebody calls you immature.
Okay.
Call me immature.
You're immature, dude.
I may be immature, but you're old and I could always grow up. Bill Maher would hate that. He hates ageist jokes.
That's also like the counterattacks are like teachery. Like they're like, I'm not going to play your little game. So they're not like snappy comebacks.
Right.
I want some snappy comebacks.
Oh, do you? Well, that's interesting because I'm only interested in the opinions of people I respect.
Yeah, these are like I'm going to reprimand you in front of the group.
Oh, you're so, whatever, dude. I will always cherish the initial misconception I had about you.
You know what I would do to these? Like, all right, throw me the book. So do you have one of these memorized?
No. Do you want me to look at one?
Yeah.
You want me to see?
All right, ready? So.
Must be a counterattack?
Yeah, do a counterattack and I'll show you I'll insult you as a bully.
I don't remember the counterattacks
are. And then you do the counterattack and then I'll show you how I would respond. Ready? Ready?
There's a one let me category you first, responding sir. To idiots. So let me look at this. Okay.
Ready? You're so old, you still get dressed up to fly.
Oh, really? Well, does your stream of consciousness have any fish in it?
No. Give me one of the... No. That's snappy.
Oh, you like that one? See, that one burned you.
No,
that's Ari said.
No.
That one got you.
Do one of the ones that's like finger wagging that you were just doing.
Oh, you know what? I was under the Yo Mama. But yeah. Yo Mama is in the counterattack.
I want to show you how a bully would respond to these, you know, sort of logical, like, finger wagging.
I don't know where I was. I'm just going to do one and maybe that'll be it.
Well, just read it. You can tell by reading it.
You're better than Ambien and cheaper.
No. The ones that are like, I only respect the opinions of people I respect. Just say that. Just say that. It would, it's a shame I only listen to the opinions of people I respect.
Okay.
All right, ready? You're so old, you still get dressed up to fly.
Well, it's a shame I only listen to the people's opinions of who I respect. It's a shame I
only listen to the That's what a bully would do to that kind of retort.
And then they would come back and be like, Oh, are you?
Shut up, nerd. I'll hit you in the face.
Do it.
You cut yourself. Yeah, you cut yourself and taste your own blood. Yeah, you just smile. Anyway.
How much do you make? Are you making more from your restaurant than you are podcasting?
I will never discuss this on a podcast that isn't a podcast about finance.
Ian Finance?
Get Ian Finance in here. And I keep telling him, and he won't do it, that his podcast should be called Finance on Finance, and he should be giving financial advice.
Okay, hold on.
Are you calling him?
Yep. Just had him on. Met him. I didn't know him, really.
Yeah, I know you. I knew he was on.
How?
Because I'm friends with him.
You guys talk all the time?
Not all the time.
You must have talked in the past few
days. But if you call him right now, he's going to think you're calling him about like a bit or something because he knows that I'm here.
As opposed to the serious thing of being like, this is your finance podcast and we need to know what Joe makes at his restaurant?
No.
Okay.
He's not going to answer. I should call him. And then we could leave him a voicemail. We could have left Ari a voicemail. What, you're hanging up already? No, let's just leave him a... Oh, boy.
Why'd you want to leave a voicemail?
Because it would have been fun, and then he could have called back.
Okay, but I wanted to get...
Oh, man, you're going
to
do a double call?
Yeah, that way he knows it's important. I'm not positive he could hear you through this. You have to be loud.
Hello?
Oh, you answered. Ian.
Hey.
Hey, Ian. Ian.
Yes?
Ian.
Ian here.
We're on the show.
Could you hear Joe DeRosa right now? Joe, speak.
Ian, can you hear
yes.
me?
Yes.
I was just Hello, telling... Joseph. Hi, Ian. I was just telling Rick... That Rick was asking me how much money I make, and I said
I asked him if he makes more money from a sandwich shop than he does podcasting.
And I said,
a bit rude.
Yeah, and I said I would never answer that question without Ian Fidance talking no. about.
What he said was he would never answer that question on anything other than a finance podcast. And I said, what about an Ian Fidance episode?
And then I said, I keep telling Ian he should have a podcast called Fidance on Finance, and he won't do it.
May I just say, this is not just the first, but multiple of times DeRosa has suggested a play on words with my last name. One time legitimately suggesting I go on stage in a suit and a calculator and go, it's time for finance talk. And he's like, you could have a cash register. And I'm like,
funny idea.
With me, or I like it. Fallen and hit your head.
I like it.
It's a funny idea. You look like the Mad Money guy too. Like you look like a guy that would be like yelling about finance.
Let's see.
People.
How would you interview Joe, and how would you ask him if he makes more money from his sandwich shop or podcasting? Let's hear it. Welcome back to Finance with Fidance. Our guest is Joe DeRosa.
Hi everybody. Thank you for tuning in, and welcome to the Financial District. And today we have the great Joe DeRosa on. Joe, you're an established, wonderful stand-up, and you're also an incredible maker of sandwiches. Mm-hmm. If I were to get into the business of sandwich making using your model, would it be more financially beneficial to get involved in making sandwiches at my shop or pursuing a career in stand-up? And specifically, how much would I make it each if I were you?
Podcasting, not stand-up, podcasting.
You couldn't come anywhere near me in either category.
Whoa, you know what, Ian? Let me take this for you. Oh, really, Joe DeRosa? Well, you're one banana short of a fruit salad. You're also one sentence short of a paragraph. You're two sheep short of a sweater. You're a couple of knights short of a crusade.
What's two sheep short of a sweater mean? That doesn't mean anything.
And also, DeRosa, you're one spine short of a human. Go
on. Wow. All right.
Ian, that's IanFinance.com.
Did he hang up on that?
Oh.
Yeah, so that? I did get sensitive. Ari's right. I am sensitive. I actually thought he was mad. All right. Well, this was fun.
I didn't hear you.
I thought you hung up. We were talking earlier about how I'm sensitive, and I was like, I was saying I wasn't sensitive, and then I just got sensitive.
Ari told me that John. Joe would say, gives it out, but sometimes gets a little sensitive when he takes it. And sometimes you have to say to him, like, no, I'm just messing around, bud. How much do you agree with that statement?
I'd prefer to be called
so
a top.
So you know, we're all podcasting, having fun, pal, friendship time. I will be making a phone call later in the private hours of the night where I go, hey, man, you know I love you, right? I'm sorry. I was kidding and trying to be funny. So my sensitivity comes in if I'm too mean for the sake of a joke.
There
so
you go.
We're all sensitive little babies.
Yeah.
We can all agree that and I think that comes from a place of truly being thoughtful, wonderful people.
There you go. I know. Hey,
except for you, Glassman, you piece of shit. Well, anyway, guys.
Well, real quick, Ian, real quick, I want to make sure that I let you know that I may be fat, but you're ugly and I could always diet.
Oh, God.
And you're mean as everyone says you are.
I do hope you put the die in diet. We'll be right back after this.
All right.
What a fucking asshole. Bleep that whole last thing
you
said.
No,
no. Whatever, bye, dude.
No, leave it. Leave it. Because you should die.
Bleep all his stuff too.
Yeah.
That last part. All right. Well, I could see it on your entire aura that you're done. So I mean, Jesus Christ. You couldn't have given up on me more
than
the way you took off your headphones. You took off your headphones like you took off a condom after 20 minutes of being erectile dysfunction.
We did a solid 90 minutes over here. That's good.
We're at under 90 minutes, not including all the cuts. So with commercials, with the opening,
yeah.
I'd say we're going to be probably around 85 minutes. I'm fine
with that.
That's
great. Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I did get a little just now, full disclosure, I'm not quitting on you. I got a little lightheaded and like I was like, oh shit, I got to get home and eat before
sugar.
My next thing. Yeah,
I understand.
That's all.
Great.
I drank a lot of coffee.
Yeah, I get that way too. I'm always supposed to eat something before I pod. But if I start a pod before noon, I'm okay and I'll eat after.
Yeah, I got up. I want you to know today. Got up early for this, committed, ran errands before this so I could be on time for this.
Thank you.
Didn't sleep very well.
Why not?
Sometimes I get like anticipation of I've got to wake up at an early hour.
What time did you wake up?
Today, 8.
Okay.
Actually, no, I was supposed to wake up at 8. I woke up at like 7:30 because I just couldn't rest. But got up, ran all my errands, did everything I needed to do, made sure I got here on time.
You know, I texted you when the Uber got there, and you got in the Uber in less than a minute, meaning you would seem like you were already outside.
I timed it in a way that I'm not kidding. I was walking up to the Uber.
And you knew it was
because
the Uber.
I was like, okay, if I circle back around to my block after these errands, chances are the Uber will be pulling up as I arrive. And I literally circled my corner at 10:27 a.m.
Were you holding things from your errands?
No, the errands were like, I had to go drop a check. I had to go, you know, stuff like that. I circled the corner and at 10:27 and the Uber had just gotten there.
Yeah.
It was so perfect.
I texted you, Uber's here. Because I got the message. I wanted to text you before opening the Uber app to screen grab because I want to give you an alert first that you could check your phone. I go, I'm about to screen grab so you can see the license plate and the driver information. And then it's on its way. I'm like, it seems like you're already in the car. You're like, in the car.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't hard to tell. There was only one car with a man sitting in it. There were other cars with women sitting in them.
I was like,
that can't be an Uber.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let women drive these
things. They do, but you have to cancel.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. I'll trust the automated ones before I trust that.
Really? Why? What do you have against women?
Everything.
Joe, thanks for coming by. I would say, do you have anything to plug? But you already did it. But if you want to remind people.
Yeah, just if you want to see me live, come to the show. I'm out touring, doing my new hour. It's called I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. JoeDeRosaInfo.com. I take it on the road.
Was JoeDeRosa.com taken?
Yes, it was.
Have you tried
We're in the process of that now. But I'm also doing it as a residency here in New York at the Crane Theater. Again, JoeDeRosaInfo.
That's awesome, man.
Thank you. JoeDeRosaInfo.com. For any tickets or show info, joeyrosesnyc.com. If you want to check out the shop and bar, come through when you're in town. And yeah.
Let me let you know that, because I woke up pretty early too, not meaning to. I woke up at 8, wanted to sleep until 9. I was already up, started working on the podcast, just doing some stuff around here, feeling not bad low energy, but just very low energy. Just like, I'm in a good mood. I'm just like tired. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Podcasting is easy, so I wasn't worried about it, but I did feel like I just kind of want to sit down. I just want to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat down, we had a talk. This was a very easy one.
This was very easy.
Felt very
nice. What's not good for energy on a day like today, it's so overcast outside. It's so gray outside, right?
A lot of people thought that A Futile and Stupid Gesture was overcast with so many celebrities in it, but it turned out to be a great movie.
That's what I was going to say. One of the reasons I crashed so immediately was because I got up because I couldn't sleep and because I was running errands and I wanted to be on time. I drank an Americano with 4 shots of espresso in it. And then I got here and you
topped
gave me
coffee.
Some coffee and I topped it off. And I'm like, my body is like, bro.
Have you eaten today?
No.
Yeah.
My body's like, bro, what are you doing? So anyway, this was fun.
Yeah. Thanks for coming
And I'll
by.
Tell you what wasn't a stupid and futile gesture. Coming here today.
Yeah?
To be a part of this.
Well, anything you want to plug?
I have a sandwich shop.
Yeah. How much money you make? How much bread you make?
I'll see you.
Scoot, do y'all.